Mary Jones and her Bible, as told by Mary Ropes. Chapter 8, The Work Begun. We have seen that the incident recorded in the last chapter made a deep impression on the mind and heart of Mr. Charles. The thought of that barefooted child, her weary journey, her eagerness to spend her 6 years' savings in the purchase of a Bible, her bitter tears of disappointment and her sweet tears of joy, all these came back to his recollection again and again, blended with the memory of ignorance and darkness of too many of his countrymen, and with the cry that was coming from all over Wales for the word of God. Mary's story was only an illustration of the terrible sense of spiritual death that had the upper hand during the famine of Bibles. No one could know so well as this good man, whose influence was, from the nature of his work, very widespread, how deep a need lay at the root of his people's lack of devotion to God, against which he seemed, with all his earnest striving, to be making such slow progress. It's no surprise, then, that the question of how to secure the publication of enough copies of God's Word for Wales continually occupied his mind. In the winter of 1802, Mr. Charles visited London, full of this one great thought and purpose, though not as yet seeing how it was to be accomplished. It was while turning the matter over in his mind one morning that the idea occurred to him of a society for the spreading of the Scriptures, a society whose only objective would be the publication and distribution of God's Holy Word. Consulting with some of his friends who belonged to the committee of the Religious Tract Society, Mr. Charles received the warmest sympathy and encouragement, and he was then introduced at their next meeting, where he spoke powerfully and with feeling about Wales and its need for Bibles. He illustrated this need by telling the story which forms the subject of this book, and this really brought home his appeal on behalf of the people of Wales. His appeal had impact. A wave of sympathy for a people that so longed and thirsted for the Word of God ran through the meeting. An earnest desire took hold of Mr. Charles's hearers and urged them to do something towards supplying this great need. The hearts of many were further stirred and their sympathies aroused when one of the secretaries of the committee, the Reverend Joseph Hughes, rose and, in reply to Mr. Charles's appeal for Bibles for Wales, exclaimed enthusiastically, "Mr. Charles, surely a society can be formed to meet the need for Bibles. And if it can be done for Wales, why not for the world?" This Christian tender-heartedness found an echo in the hearts of many among the audience, and the secretary was instructed to prepare a letter inviting Christians everywhere and of all denominations to unite in forming a society which would have the objective of spreading God's word over the whole world. 2 years were spent in publicising the purpose of the committee and in the administration involved in setting it up. But in March 1804, the British and Foreign Bible Society was actually established, and at its first meeting, contributions of £700 were received. Unfortunately, Mr. Charles was unable to be present at this meeting. He was hard at work at home in Wales. But he heard the news with the greatest joy, and it was owing to his exertions and to those of his friends, as well as to the efforts of other Christian workers who deeply felt the great need of the people at this time, that the contributions in Wales amounted to nearly £1,900, most of this consisting of the subscriptions and donations of the lower and poorer classes. In the foundation of the Bible Society, all denominations met and were brought thus into sympathy by a common cause and an earnest wish to serve one common master. Hence we see representatives of all Christian churches working together for the good and enlightenment of the world. Meanwhile, wherever Mr. Charles was at work, wherever his influence extended, there was awakened the longings and thence arose the petition for the Word of Life. Wherever he told the story, either in Welsh or English platforms, of the little girl of Llanfihangel, the simple narrative never failed to carry home some lessons to the heart of each hearer. Great was the joy and thankfulness of this single-minded and hard-working minister of Christ, when he learned that the first resolution of the committee of the Bible Society was to bring out an edition of the Welsh Bible for the use of Welsh Sunday schools. His delight was greater still when the first consignment of these Bibles reached Bala in 1806. Amongst the most useful workers in the early years of the Bible Society was the Reverend John Owen, who soon became one of its secretaries, and proved to be a most earnest and able promoter of this glorious enterprise. Associated also with this time of the Great Society's childhood are the honoured names of Steinkopf, Wilberforce and Josiah Pratt. While in Wales, amongst its earlier supporters were Dr. Darren, Bishop of Bangor, who united cordially with Mr. Charles and others in the good work. And after Mr. Charles, he displayed the deepest interest in this new work in many practical ways up to the time of his death. But in following the work of the Bible Society, but you must not forget our friend Mary Jones, who during this time had passed from girlhood to womanhood. On leaving school, she worked as a weaver, and she concludes that she was still living with her parents. Of one thing we may be sure, that her precious Bible was as dear to her as ever, and that she was intensely interested in the setting up of the Bible Society and in the news of the first edition of Welsh Bibles having been received at Bala. But in addition to her weaving and the household help she gave her mother, who was not so well or strong as before, Mary had developed a talent for dressmaking, which stood her in good stead when she needed to earn a little extra money. And anyone who could afford it came to her to cut out and make their dresses. And though Mary never wasted a moment, she sometimes found it quite difficult to fit in everything in the day that she planned to do. As for Jacob, his asthma became more and more of a problem, and when the winter winds and fogs came, he suffered a lot, although always brazen patiently, for the dear Lord's sake who'd borne so much for him. Occasionally, Mr. Charles would visit Abergann Olwyn, and every now and then at Llansihangel. And then he and Mary Jones met again, and she would learn from him how the society in London was going on. The Great London, which was a strange, distant and unknown world to her. She only had vague ideas of its size and its distance from the little quiet secluded place where she lived. And so up in London, the great tree of life went on spreading and growing from a root which had sprung up in Wales.